it goes hand in hand with what I feel the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to minister on this morning. There was ever a time for the Church of Jesus Christ to be strong in Him. It's now, especially in the United States of America. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of the prophet Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, beginning chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? These verses we're about to read describe the call of God to the great prophet Jeremiah. And as I was preparing for what the Lord would have me to minister on today, I believe that this call of Jeremiah is very relevant to those in the last days church who have their faith and trust in Christ and what He did on the cross. For I believe the call of God on us as a church and as individual believers who have their faith in Christ and Him crucified directly parallels the call that God placed on Jeremiah for such a time as we're living in right now. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. I want you to pay particular attention to these next few verses we're going to read. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now I want you to pay particular attention to what the Lord commanded Jeremiah to do. I want to read it again from verse 10. To root out and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of the Jeremiah generation, till we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the rich and full presence of the Holy Spirit that we've been made to fill. And Lord, in these next few moments, I'm asking for your divine intervention and your precious anointing to rest upon me, to deliver what I believe you have told me to deliver today in clarity, Lord, in continuity of thought, so that it would be clear to your people, Lord. Help me today, Lord, for the message will not come across right except you touch it and you provide your divine assistance. Lord God, I just sense right now a move of the Holy Ghost over this congregation. Lord, we're living in the last days. We're children of the last days. And Father, we need your strength. We need to know your insight. We need to know, Lord, that there are certain traumatic events that are going to transpire that you have ordained. We cannot stop them, nor will you allow them to be stopped. But Lord, we can take heart and that you, our God, will preserve us in the midst of it all if we keep our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord God, I ask your touch today. And Lord, strengthen us today by your word. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. These words taken from the book of the great prophet Jeremiah, who is known as the weeping prophet. Because rarely did Jeremiah, at least from a human perspective, rarely did he have anything that could be deemed positive to say. Most of what the Lord called this great prophet to do was to warn Israel about the impending doom that was coming upon the nation. And that's never popular. That never draws a large crowd to the spiritually dead. It even drives them away further from the truth as they harden their heart and refuse to listen. Because human pride is such that it never wants to believe that the God of this universe would judge it for its sins. And I believe that's the state spiritually that the United States of America is in today. And that is the fault of the church. As we were on vacation, we had the privilege of going through the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And for me, that was a life-changing event. It was set up so that they literally put you inside one of the concentration camps. They had it set up to where if you raised a window, you would look out and see the sights that those from the little shanties that comprised the living quarters of the camp, what those people inside would see, and it was horrific. But another section of the museum brought out how Hitler swayed the entire nation of Germany to fall to his, what he termed his final solution of the Jewish people. He used propaganda. And I myself, until going through this museum, did not realize the full import of the word propaganda and how it could be used to sway an entire nation. The word itself means propaganda. Means that using a mistruth or a half-truth to shape public opinion. That's in essence what propaganda is. And when Hitler first began his crusade to change the minds of the German people, strangely enough, the first place he started was with the German pastors and churches. For in his diabolical plot, he knew that he must corrupt the church first if he were to sway the rest of the nation. And he began to attend the churches and tell them what a Christian he was and how he wanted to help them to grow and how he saw a German church praising God. And that's how he entered into the churches. That's how he got his foot in the door. Using that propaganda, and the churches bought it hook, line, and sinker, for he promised the pastors wealth, he promised them popularity, and he promised them power. And they fell for it by the hundreds, giving their allegiance to this despotic dictator who was full of the devil. You would think, why would not someone in the church have the discernment to see and know what this man was and what he was about to do? It shows where the human heart is. It showed where the heart of the pastors in Germany were. And as his propaganda machine grew, it was the churches that handed out games. Now think of this. To indoctrinate the children, the churches were handing out games that included figurines of Hitler and his henchmen to teach them that they were good. And that what they were doing was right. Hitler learned well from his mentor, Karl Marx, who Karl Marx made the comment, "You can destroy any nation on earth without a single shot being fired if you can corrupt one generation of its youth." And Hitler, through the churches, proceeded to do just that. As the churches and the pastors gave their allegiance to Adolf Hitler over Jesus Christ. I was stunned when I learned of this because I had never studied it that in depth until going through this Holocaust Museum. But what stunned me so about it was not only the fact that it happened once, but the very same tactics that Adolf Hitler used to sway Germany to Nazism are the very same tactics being used by this current administration on the United States of America. And it's been proven this week, I believe should be beyond a shadow of a doubt, we have a Muslim as president. When at Ramadan, he allows that horrific celebration of Ramadan to be held in the White House and then makes the announcement that he is for this mosque to be built less than two blocks away from where the Twin Towers once stood. My brothers and sisters, that gentleman is a Muslim. And he's full of deception. And he does not care about re-election. All he cares about is pushing his agenda as far as he can while he's in power. And I wonder if the United States of America is ever going to be the same again at the conclusion of his administration. The parallel is to the book of Jeremiah. Is that in this time of propaganda that's flowing like a river from the White House to shape the public opinion of Americans to a one world order and a one world government, and that's exactly what's being done. They want America, even our president does, to give up her sovereignty as a world leader and bring her down to be in line with other nations. That's what's transpiring, whether you know it or not. And sadly, the state of the churches in America are just like that of Nazi Germany. Their allegiance is not to Jesus Christ. Their allegiance is to the same things that motivated the German pastors. Power, profit, and pleasure. And the churches have turned their back on Jesus Christ by and large. But one thing. God has always had a remnant people when you study His Word. He's always had a people who would stand up for Him and say, we're not going to compromise, we're not going to go that way. And hence that's why I entitled this message, A Joshua Generation. Because I believe that the call of God is on this church and on us as individuals to make a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. To boldly and unashamedly proclaim the gospel. To tell the world that the only way to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. The only way to change a human heart is through continuing that faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Outside of that, there is no change for the human heart. But with faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, which enables the power of the Holy Spirit to effectively work on an individual's heart, lives then can and will be changed. And I believe God has called us to deliver that message in this day and hour. Notice He told Jeremiah. When He called Jeremiah and said, I formed you from your mother's womb. I knew you when you were yet in your mother's belly. And Jeremiah, in humility, looking at himself, said, Lord God, I cannot speak. Here is the challenge, I believe, for Crossway Community Church. We must not view ourselves from a standpoint of how man would view us. In other words, just a small body of believers who's inconsequential and insignificant. No, we are none of that. In the eyes of God, maybe from man's perspective, we don't hold a lot of power. But from God's perspective, we are proclaiming the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And as your attendance and your support of this church, you are saying, I support and I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And that what He did on the cross holds a solution to every problem and every situation and every trial man is going to have. And I'm going to keep my faith there. When you make that kind of proclamation, you become a powerhouse before God. I don't care if there's one or if there's 10,000 of you. It's what you believe, what we believe, that determines our standing before God, not the number in our pews, not the amount of our tithe on Sunday morning. I rejoice in the fact, Crossway Community Church, that we have the greatest thing we could ever have. We have the truth of the gospel, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Those are the greatest things we could ever have. And from God's perspective, that makes us important. We must not view ourselves as being inconsequential and insignificant because God does not view us that way. And it's not because we are so good innately in and of ourselves. It is because of our faith and what we believe. And He told Jeremiah, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you the words to speak. And notice what He tells Jeremiah then. He said, don't fear their faces. I want to tell you something, and I believe you all will identify with this. I know what it's like to put everything you've got on the line to speak what God's telling you to speak. I'm talking about your family, your finances, everything you got. When you know God's called you to deliver a message to a people who really don't want to hear it, by and large. But just as the Lord told Jeremiah, don't fear their faces, for I'm with you and I'll deliver you. That's what you and I must take heart in as last of the last days believers preaching this message of Christ and Him crucified. I wish I could stand here and tell you that the United States of America was going to heal and get better. I don't believe that. I believe it's been decreed. That's a bad way to say it because the United States has left silent biblical prophecy. I believe that for biblical prophecy to transpire, the United States of America has to reach a place of insignificance on the world scene. And I believe we're seeing the beginning of that now. As I was in Washington, D.C. over this last weekend, there was a local commentator. His name escapes me. But he made a comment that just went right through me to my very soul. He said that the next generation of Americans will be the first one in history who will not have it better than the generation that preceded it. Now that struck me because that's my children. That's your children they're talking about there. And I knew the gentleman was right. That's what was so sad. I knew he was right. Because the forces, the powers that be now are weakening this nation to the point that it's going to become an insignificant player on the world scene. It's going to become just like other nations. Get ready. That's not going to be stopped. But where is the hope for you and I? It's in the hope that the promise the Lord God gave to Jeremiah. Don't fear their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you. Just as I can stand here and tell you how fearful it is to put everything on the line for God when He tells you to do something, I can also stand here and tell you He will not fail you. Praise God. I know He won't fail you. He'll move heaven and earth. He'll work miracles. He'll open up doors that you never thought could be opened up. And He'll move quickly to get it done too. Because you are His. Thank God we're not in the care of the United States of America. We're in the care of Almighty God. We're under the care of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! He will not fail us. Hence, we must make it a priority in our lives to check our faith continually and consistently to see that it resides exclusively in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because that is the only thing that's going to carry us through and carry our children through. That's why I'm so glad Brother Chris has the teens of this church. I know what he's teaching them. He's teaching them Christ and Him crucified. That'll carry them on through. No matter how slow this nation may sink, if they have their faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, the Lord God is going to protect them and deliver them and see them through. That's a great sign of hope for me, no matter what goes on in this nation. But that's why I called this message, why I believe the Lord had me entitled the Jeremiah Generation. Because I believe that's what every believer who has their faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross, I believe they're going to be a Jeremiah generation where the Lord God is calling us to remain true to Him and remain true to His words in the face of tremendous opposition, in the face of tremendous persecution. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, and in the early 1950s, he made a visit to New York City. He wanted to hear what the preachers in America were preaching about. And he went to a multitude of churches in New York City. And my, there's a lot of them there. When we were downtown there just recently, even in Times Square, you have Brother Dave Wilkerson's church, who I believe is a great man of God, just off of Times Square. Churches all over the place. But in the early 50s, after the end of World War II and him being released from the Nazi regime, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who himself was a pastor, came to America. Now think of this. This is in the early 50s. He went to every church he could in New York City. And after months of attending churches, he wrote about in his diary about his conclusion. He said, "The preachers in America preach about everything except the gospel of Jesus Christ." He said, "You can hear any eloquent dissertation on any number of subjects." But he said, "In the months of my survey, I did not hear one message on the cross. I did not hear one message on sin. I did not hear one message on redemption. I did not hear one message on the coming of the Lord." Think of that. That was in 1950 when he was in New York City. And we know the spiritual state today. How close must we be to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? How close must we be to the rapture of the church? There's why we are a Jeremiah generation. Yes, we may have to suffer some persecution for what we believe. Yes, we may have to face some ugly faces as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here is what I believe the Holy Spirit wants you and I to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. His promise to Jeremiah when he called him, and Jeremiah felt so insignificant, but the Lord told Jeremiah, "I'll put my words in your mouth. I'll tell you what to say." And then he went on and told Jeremiah, "Don't you fear their faces, for I'm with you and I will deliver you. Praise God." Church, as the coming storm is approaching, it gives me no pleasure to put us in remembrance that it's going to get bad. And I believe I'm speaking just as Joshua spoke to Israel so many thousands of years ago. You see, they hated Jeremiah because every time he would prophesy, it would be something in their mind that was negative. He was warning them. The situation could have turned if Israel would have repented, but instead of listening to Jeremiah's messages and repenting and asking the Lord to forgive them, they hardened their hearts and became angry with him. And ultimately, in essence, as you read the entire book of Jeremiah, you'll find that Israel said, "We don't want to hear anything you've got to say anymore. We don't like it when you speak, because all you talk about is bad things." And he was sounding a clarion warning to his generation that God's judgment was about to fall, and to those who would repent, they would find restoration and they would find peace in God. But they refused to hear that message. So we are a Joshua generation, as we are called to deliver the message of Christ and Him crucified. It's going to be daunting. It's going to be persecution at times. But if we will hold true to the Lord our God and not let go of the faith that is so precious, God is going to protect us. God will even cause us to flourish in this time. And I believe in every way, spiritually, financially, familial, in every way, because the Lord God is on our side if our faith is in Him. Hallelujah! And we're a true Jeremiah generation. And we're called to stand and not back down. I love what A.W. Tozer said one time about preachers of the gospel. He said, "We're not called to be diplomats." He said, "Our heritage is the Hebrew prophet, not the American diplomat." He said, "We are called to deliver an ultimatum, not a compromise, from Almighty God." And that is the job of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has so encouraged my heart with what I'm preaching to you today. Because you know what I want for this church? Nothing more, nothing less. And I told the Lord this as I was in prayer one night on vacation. It was the night after we went to the Holocaust Museum. I said, "Lord, you have really been working on me." And I said, "You know all I want for Crossway Community Church? I want us to walk in the truth. And I want the presence of the Holy Spirit in our church. Outside of that, that's everything we need. That's everything we need. We don't need a big building. We don't need a lot of people. If God sends them, fine. But I don't want a big church at the expense of having to compromise this gospel one iota. Because we're called first to please God. We're called first to make God happy. We're called first to deliver God's word. Hallelujah! And we are a Jeremiah generation, all who throw their hat in that ring and say, "Yes, I believe that, and I'm not going to compromise the truth I know, no matter how much fun they make of me, no matter how politically correct they think I am. I know that the power of God is in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will not back down from that."
Praise God, that's a Jeremiah generation.
But all around the United States of America, I'm going to read a scripture to you in just a moment. That first shows you the state of the secular world, then I'm going to read another one to you that shows you the state of the church right now. And I'm reading from the book of Jeremiah that was written so many thousands of years ago. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? What an indictment from God. He's asking Israel, what did I not do for you? These were the people he brought up out of the land of Egypt by many miracles and wondrous signs. And they have now turned their back on the very God that delivered them. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests, in other words, the preachers, said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Look at verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. What statements taken from the book of this great prophet who prophesied the state of Israel, and it exactly parallels the state of the United States of America today. Let me try and pull all that into focus for you. Always in biblical typology, whenever you're reading about the great deliverance of God's people from Egyptian bondage, the Israelites, you're seeing a representation of Calvary there. How so? In that just as God with a mighty hand reached down through signs and wonders and brought them out of Egyptian bondage, and as he said, he led them through the desert. Notice he didn't take them out of the desert. He led them through it and blessed them and provided for them through many dangers, toils, and snares. It is exactly a type of the modern day believer when he places his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God with a mighty hand reaches down and pulls us out of sin and breaks the hold of sin over us. And as the sanctification process progresses, he does not take us out of this world. He leaves us in it and leads us and guides us through many dangers, toils, and snares, and proves himself to us that he is God. My Lord, how many times has he proven to you and I that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think? When we thought, oh Lord, we're going down this time. I can't go through this. I'm not going to make it. The power of Almighty God stepped in because you had your faith in Jesus Christ. And he brought you through it, didn't he? And then the question is asked rhetorically by God himself through the prophet Jeremiah. Has a nation changed its gods, which are no gods? Look at the great and terrible swaps we've made in the United States of America. We've traded having Jesus in our public schools and prayer in our public schools for having homosexuality run rampant. Think of that. We've traded, the church has. That's going to be my next point. The church has traded the awesome and wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit to have the approval of the world and to have big crowds and big buildings. Go with me to Jeremiah 14:14. I'm beginning to close now. Then the Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, listen to this. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. Neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Now more than ever, church, you need to ask the Lord to give you spiritual discernment. The Bible tells us, the scripture just escaped me, but the reference, but I know the scripture. I believe it's in 1 John or 1 Peter. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be of God. And this scripture we just read, Jeremiah 14:14, he said, the prophets are prophesying lies. They're speaking words that I have not given them. The modern vernacular of that is any preacher who does not put at the heart of their message the cross of Jesus Christ is the ultimate solution. As I've said many times before, I believe in preaching on order in the family. Preach on it. But the only way you're going to achieve that order in your family is by placing your faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. Preach on the evils of divorce. Preach on the evils of homosexuality. But don't leave those poor sinners hanging with just condemnation over their head. Give them a way out of it, the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't patty cake them and tell them they need a 12-step program or that they just need to come to your church function and they're going to be all right and you're going to help them. There's no power in that. And if that's what the churches and preachers are preaching, they are preaching lies and they're preaching things that are not from the Lord. Hence, this Jeremiah generation needs to know. It needs to have its spiritual ears on all the time to listen for that certain sound. And what is that certain sound? Of course, at the heart of every message, it has to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't care what you're preaching about. If you're preaching about deliverance from sin, wonderful. Take them to the cross. If you're preaching about how to overcome a battle of sin in your life as a believer, fine, preach it. But lead them to the cross. There's where the only help is. And any message you hear, listen closely to me on this Jeremiah generation as I close. Any message that you hear from any preacher, if it does not have Christ and Him crucified at the center of it, and let me expound for just a moment what I mean by that to be clear. If the main answer being offered by that preacher is not the cross of Christ, he's prophesying falsely. I know that's a sweeping statement to make, but it's true. That's exactly what Jeremiah was talking about. Because the prophets of his day were leading them away from the system of worship that God had given in temple worship through the animal sacrifices, which were in and of themselves a type of the cross. But they had forsaken that and had reduced themselves to the point that they were offering up babies live on the altar of Baal. The cruelty that humanity can sink to when he turns his back on Christ is beyond comprehension. I saw it in that Holocaust museum in ways that I'd never seen it before. As they showed the films of Hitler's henchmen throwing the dead bodies heap upon heap just like they were a pile of rubble. This is what man is at his very being without Christ. This is what a nation is reduced to without Christ. This is how a church loses its voice for God when it turns from the power of the gospel to seeking the approval of the world. But my brothers and sisters, purpose in your heart, I'm going to be a part of the Jeremiah generation. I'm going to hold on to what I know to be the truth. When their faces look at me askance, I will still stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and will not compromise what I know is right. If it costs me a promotion, if it costs me whatever, I will stand for God, because let me tell you this, your safety is not in your employer. Your safety is not in this government. Your safety is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And this Jeremiah generation needs to live under that mindset. It's going to get rough. It's going to get rough. I believe I've heard from the Lord on this, and you all know I don't make a statement like that lightly. I believe He's told me, warn my people. It's going to get very, very difficult. But at the same time, with that warning, as He gave me this message today, He said, remind them, I'm with them. Praise God. Don't you just feel that? Hallelujah to His name. That comforts me so. I weep for America. I weep for the way our churches have gone. I really do. I know I preach a lot against it, and sometimes I'm probably a little bit too sarcastic, but know that it's a righteous anger. I don't hate the people, but I'm just like, wake up. How foolish can you be to want to continue chasing after books and books of men and 12-step programs when we have the Almighty Word of God that gives us the answer to everything? It breaks my heart. It really does. But all, you know, the pressure in this sense is off of us. Our mission is to merely deliver the truth. That's all. That's all we can do. We can't change a human heart. But we can please God by walking in the truth, living in the truth, and preaching the truth. And in the end, that's really all I want from Him. I just want His truth, and I want His presence. Because if we have those things, everything else comes with it. Everything we're ever going to need. Everything we're ever going to need. I don't ever want to be accused of being a church. We don't know who's going to walk in here. Maybe if some Sunday morning a Dietrich Bonhoeffer would walk in this building. I would want him to know that we preach the cross. I would want him to hear that we believe exclusively in the saving virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and it is the only power that can cleanse sin and change a human heart. I would never want anybody to walk in our church and not at least at some point in the message hear that. We're a Jeremiah generation. Let the Holy Spirit prepare your hearts for what's going to come, because it's going to get difficult. It's going to get very difficult. But the Lord will be with us. The Lord will be with us. Praise God. Praise God. What He told Jeremiah, I am with thee. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. What a thought. Do you realize what He's telling us? I am with thee. Oh, God. Hear me, Jeremiah generation. The Lord our God is with us. Don't fear their faces. Don't fear being looked askance at. Don't fear what material advancement you may lose for taking a stand for Jesus. You have Him. It's the greatest reward you could ever have. And He'll be with us. Would everyone please stand? Heavenly Father, this morning we come to You, and Lord, I thank You that we have been privileged to be born and live in this great nation of the United States of America, that You birthed, that You raised up. Lord, when we read the writings of our forefathers, of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, men who loved You, Lord Jesus, and who knew that no nation could survive without the Lord God at the center of it. We thank You that we've been privileged to be raised and be worshiping in this nation. But Lord, Your word decrees and declares, I believe, that we're living in the end times. And that, Lord, for a lot of the end time prophecies to come to pass, even though I believe America is specifically silent in them, America will have to be so weakened that she couldn't even be a major player. I believe that's why You don't mention us in biblical prophecy. And Lord, we're living in that time right now for I believe our nation will never once again see great days like it's seen in the past. But Lord, we should not spend all of our time weeping and pining over this nation's choice to turn its back on You. We must look unto You, Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we, as individual believers of the Jeremiah generation, must keep our faith and trust in You, Lord Jesus, exclusively. And to continually and consistently check our faith to make sure it's there. And allow Your Holy Spirit to comfort us with the knowledge that You are with us. Praise God, praise God. And that, Lord, no matter what calamity, no matter what trials, what persecutions may come upon us for maintaining this great faith, let us fear not their faces, but let us maintain our faith exclusively in You. Lord, for Crossway Community Church, I believe everyone's in one mind and one accord on this in this body. We asked You not for fame, for worldly acclaim. Lord, we simply ask that You keep us walking in Your glorious truth and that You let the presence of Your Holy Spirit fill every service. For Lord, if we have that, we have everything. Lord, like Solomon so many thousands of years ago when You set him on the throne of Israel as a young boy. And in a dream, You appeared to him and You asked him what he wanted. And You said You would give him anything. He asked for an understanding heart that he might rule Your people well. Lord, we at Crossway Community Church in that same spirit approach You today, knowing that we are a Jeremiah generation. And Lord, we asked You simply to keep us in Your truth. And to keep us walking in that truth. And to allow Your Holy Spirit to work on us. And to strengthen us and encourage us every day in our daily lives. And when we come together corporately, give us Your Holy Spirit, Lord. To change us, to shape us, to mold us, to strengthen us. The Holy Spirit does so much. Lord, I thank You for Your wonderful presence that I feel right now. Lord, I feel comfort. I feel comfort in knowing that You're with us. And I believe You're affirming this word this morning by this rich presence. You're affirming to us, You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the promise of Your presence. But that's the greatest promise of all. And Lord, indelibly inscribe it upon our minds that it's our faith in Christ and Him crucified that allows Your presence to be manifested. That and that alone. Thank You, Lord, for showing us Your presence in all of our trials and failures. In our imperfect faith, Lord. Thank You for Your patience with us, Lord Jesus. For we are surely not a perfect people nor a perfect church, but we have a perfect faith in Christ and His shed blood. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for the warnings it contains, but thank You for the assurance that Your presence will be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Lift your hands and praise Him this morning. I feel such a rich presence. Thank Him for the assurance that He's going to be with you. Lord God, I sense You ministering, I believe, by Your Spirit to every soul that's here right now. Affirming to them Your presence, You're with them. And You will care. And You will deliver. Oh Lord, we praise You for that promise. But Lord, we're going to need it in the coming days. Lord, for years I've heard pastors and preachers preach on the coming last days. Lord, they're here. They're here. Soon we could be raptured out, Lord Jesus. before this service is over, we can meet you in the air. Let us ever keep that promise before us, Lord. But Lord, if you tarry, no matter how long, let us ever rest in the blessed assurance, I am with thee. And that's really all we need to know. That simple statement contains everything we need to know as your children. You're with us. We praise you and give you honor and glory, Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can set this world right and who's going to set it right. We look forward to the day of ruling and reigning with you, Lord Jesus. And we commit our lives, we commit our nation, we commit our leaders to your lordship. They can do nothing except you allow it. You are Lord God of this world. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's been so good to be in God's house with you this morning. It's been good to be home. We really love you all. We missed you. We had a great time. But every Sunday and every Wednesday, my mind and my spirit was right here. I was thinking, not worried about how the service was going, because I knew with Brother Chris and Brother Mahari, but I would just be thinking about you all and your faces and missing you. But it was great. I want to thank you for allowing us to get away. It's really refreshed our whole family, but we missed you, and it's good to be home again. We're going to pick up our study on Wednesday night in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to pick right up at the rapture of the church. And I believe that'll be a blessing to you to study that. So come ready for that, and be safe, and we'll see you on Wednesday night. Brother Ned, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning?